Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Third Space. I'm Kevin Weir.
And I am Skeletor.
Wait, because he's a skeleton?
Yes. Welcome to Spooktober.
No, but if He-Man's not a scary show.
The Third Space is mine to command.
This makes no sense.
Begin the show. Welcome to the Third Space,
where I take
two ideas and smash them together!
Stop, Skeletor, stop.
But Jeremy asked me to come and substitute for him.
No, please, no. I can't do this for the entire episode.
Kevin!
I can't.
Join me in a dark partnership!
I can't do it, Skeletor. Please.
Kevin!
I'm praying to you.
We must defeat the Man-at-Arms.
Why him? Why specifically him?
He's He-Man's father, didn't you know?
Is he?
I don't know. I don't know if that shit's true.
I mean, it's He-Man.
I do love Skeletor, though.
It's He-Man. We can probably pull out any sort of bullshit we want.
I'm Jeremy Berkeley, by the way.
That was one of the weirder openings that we've done.
You mean spooky intro?
Oh, right. Sorry, that was a very spooky intro. It was so spooky.
Had skeletons in it.
I was legitimately afraid Skeletor would be there for the entire show.
Couldn't be worse than when I did Deckard Cain the entire time.
No, that was funny. Skeletor is a very intimidating skeleton.
That's true. Have you seen that guy? He is ripped.
Which is weird because he has no muscles.
This is true.
He's skeleton all the way down, right?
I don't know.
Is he just a skull face?
Maybe just got some sort of acid thing going on there.
Like Red Skull?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for just normal skull.
I will say, I like Skeletor more than Red Skull. Both as a villain and as a visual image.
Well, I mean, nobody's comparing Skeletor and Red Skull.
I just did.
All right. It's now in the conversation.
That's right.
Well, I mean, also the nice thing is that Skeletor is not a Nazi.
That's true.
No.
Yeah.
I think if anything, Skeletor is fine with, you know, people. Like, you know, they just want people to be evil. Skeletor wants evil.
No, Skeletor just wants to be in charge.
Yeah.
And, you know, those stupid pansy good people can go suck it.
Oh, he's Evil Lynn's one of his friends, right?
What?
Evil Lynn? I swear that's the name of someone.
I don't know. No, I don't
think
so.
Is it something else? Is Evil-Lyn something else?
No, but Evelyn is a real name.
Nah, Evil-Lyn.
Are you just saying that you know a person named Evelyn who's evil?
I don't know much about He-Man. I know He-Man. I don't pretend to know a lot about He-Man.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor, by the way.
No. It probably never will be.
Nope.
No. Maybe, you know.
It'd be great.
Sorbo was Hercules.
Yeah.
There was a live action He-Man.
Was there a live action He-Man?
Yeah.
Man, they must have had a horrible wig.
It probably was terrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Horrible wig.
Horrible.
Well, I mean, that bowl cut. Ugh. Who was like, yes, I'll give the manliest man in the universe a bowl cut?
Well, you know, it was the 80s.
Is there a topic about He-Man today?
No, is it about the 80s?
No.
I mean, really, it's timeless.
Yeah, the timeless topic.
The one that sped through time. So what is our topic?
Our topic this time is, what if reanimation was real?
Yes, and we're going to be going through different concepts of reanimation.
Yeah, because it's across the horror genre, there's a lot of different instances of it.
Yeah, and there's reanimation, also just a weird partial reanimation, like the head that could not die.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was the head.
It was the head.
She could not die.
Nope.
And then she got psychic powers. Did you know if you don't have a body, your mind doesn't have to, like, spend all that time dealing with, you know, like, arms and legs and intestines. Breathing. So it's like, hey, I guess I could be psychic. There's hang on, we are going to get into reanimation. I want to take a very brief dip into just like general tropes that pop up in movies, which is the idea that whenever somebody like unlocks the full potential of their mind, they get psychic powers.
Yeah.
It's like the implication is like, well, I mean, everyone could have psychic powers. We just don't think about it enough.
You just need to unlock the potential of your mind.
Yeah, it's like that's not that doesn't make any sense. That's not how brains work.
That's true.
No, but we'll find out how brains work, because reanimation does work.
Yes.
Yes.
In this universe.
In this universe.
I think probably the easiest place to start is for us to start at zombies.
Yes.
Because they're the most widespread. Eh? Yeah. Eh? See what I did there? Eh?
No.
Widespread zombie plague?
I mean, I guess when they're plagues. Yeah. Some of them aren't plagues.
That's true.
I mean, like,
well, which one do you want to start with?
Okay, well, the rage zombies are not reanimation. No.
Those are just people who have been infected with the virus.
Yeah, 28
they are
days
alive.
Later, those are just, they're alive.
Yeah.
We're literally talking about someone dies and they come back.
Yeah. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead or Walking Dead or Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Or anyone to say
Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead. Pretty much anything that says dead in it is usually about things being alive.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the movie Zombie.
Yeah.
I wish I knew more, but I wish we did research. I wish I knew more about where, like, the concept of zombies came from.
It's in a lot of mythologies.
But in the sense of, like, why when someone dies and comes back? Because the idea is that at that point, they're essentially just working off pure instinct. Why did that always translate into eat brains and kill people?
Well, I've actually had multiple conversations about this, about why zombies would actually attack the living.
Okay, well, please explain it to me.
And I feel, and this is not a common thread that people often go to, but I actually feel it's a social reason rather than anything else.
Okay.
Because I think it's a human need and real desire to be included and feel close to people.
Okay, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why when I want to meet a group of friends, I find them and I eat them.
Well, see, you have other tools because you're a human being who has not been reanimated as a zombie. You can call somebody or you can say, hello, my name is Kevin. Nice to meet you.
But
or you can go to a party and be like, look at all the people here.
But a zombie only knows consuming, I guess.
Well, the zombie knows that you're human, but you're also different, right?
Yeah.
So in order to fit in with you, it has to make you a zombie. It's the only way. It's the only way.
Now, I like that a lot more.
Yeah.
I like the idea that every time a zombie's going around, they're like, oh, I wish I could be that guy's friend.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I could make him into a zombie. You'll kill him. He'll
then
come
we'll
back.
We'll be friends forever.
Then we'll be friends forever.
Enrique.
No. Different episode.
Yeah.
Different episode.
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't resist.
Enrique zombie. That is a very interesting concept. That essentially zombies are just people who want to have friends.
Yeah.
And so they do it by eating. That makes sense for the ones that really just like infect. But it's also just like eat the brains of people. Because the classic zombies didn't turn other people into zombies. They just killed people.
Well, if you got bitten, though, you would eventually turn. No, you're right. They would just kill people, and then the people would come back as zombies because that was a thing that happened.
Yeah. It was like that.
If you died of natural causes, you would still come back as a zombie.
Yeah. That's – and they would eat
basically
brains?
Brains? It's like what we did – what we do every single week, where it's basically if you die – what would happen if you died and just came back as an unliving, unfeeling, unthinking beast?
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So if that type of reanimation happened in the real world, what would be the effects?
Well,
first of all the people who have died would come back to life.
Yes.
Which actually wouldn't be super bad.
Because there's more people alive now.
Yeah.
We outnumber them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we would outnumber them.
Yeah, yeah, a lot.
And then it's just a matter of destroying
Because then there's also the ones who have decomposed beyond any sort of, like, functional form.
Yeah, I mean, skeleton cannot reanimate.
No, no. That would be stupid.
You still need muscles to move around.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's the logic thing behind
skeletons.
So
no skeleton could reanimate unless it was Skeletor, because he's so buff.
Also, Skeletor might only have a skull head.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know how. We don't know what he's working with down there.
We don't even know if he is reanimated or not.
There's a lot of questions about Skeletor that I think we all want answered.
Yeah,
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, come on, Masters of the Universe.
I want the Skeletor prequel back when he was a young Skeletor.
Oh man, I would watch that so much.
With all the children on the playground.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Somebody get on this.
And then pay us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Royalties.
All, yeah, yeah. Come on. Idea came from us. You know it did. Don't lie to yourself. Derek.
All about the D names.
Yeah. No, I said Derek a while ago as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems to be the name I go to.
It's your go-to?
I'm trying to think of... So we would definitely outnumber them.
Yeah, we would.
And let's be honest, the way that zombies always work, like, one thing, we're not talking about the rage zombies, we're just talking about zombies.
Yeah.
The reason that zombies are so frightening, this is what I heard what someone said.
Well, they're relentless.
Is that, yeah, one zombie is not that bad. You can deal with one zombie.
Yeah.
You might be able to deal with two zombies. The thing about zombies is that there's a lot of them.
Yep.
And they just keep coming. It's about being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But I think in real life, I don't think that overwhelm would, like...
Here's the thing. There would be some collateral damage. Because there are people who panic.
Yeah.
In every instance, in anything ever,
yeah.
There are people who panic.
Yeah.
But the majority of the human race, I don't feel like they would panic. And then it just becomes a thing where, okay, when somebody dies, if we don't want them to come back as an unliving, unthinking beast,
yeah.
We need to destroy their body.
Burn them.
So it would just be a normal thing. People would die and there would be no burials unless you buried somebody in like
concrete.
Concrete or a 4-inch steel box,
and that's probably like rich people. They can get buried in concrete.
Yeah,
they don't have to go in the corpse piles.
You want to keep your grandpa in a shatterproof glass tank? Okay,
you're weird,
but you can do it.
Like these zombie movies always show that when the zombies come, everyone's like, "Oh, what do we do? I don't know what we do."
That's pretty. It's pretty clear what
it's pretty clear what you do.
Yeah,
like I. In this, we're imagining this in our world.
Yeah.
Which, does that mean there's still zombie movies?
Yeah.
Okay, so
there wouldn't be zombie movies like Dawn of the Dead.
There'd be heartwarming zombie movies.
Well, there'd be movies with emotional content.
Like Warm Bodies.
Yeah, like Warm Bodies. Or, you know, like that kid who wants to keep his grandfather in a shatterproof glass room.
I don't know that one.
Like... No, that's what I'm saying. I just said
that.
I'm saying that would be a movie. And
okay.
it would be about the little boy learning to move on from his grandfather's death.
I mean, the thing that I think of is that if zombies have been around forever, then it just would not be a problem.
No,
I think the reason why those zombie movies always have things freak out, number one, they're movies, so if everyone just dealt with it immediately, it wouldn't be a movie.
Yeah. What?
That's how movies work.
Yep.
Yeah. No, if they've been around since the beginning of time, that's just how you deal with things.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, the cavemen, they learned you burn the bodies
before
who die.
Prometheus gave them fire, there were a bunch of undead humans wandering the earth.
Well, I think the thing is, like, when you go back further, there was less, I want to say the human fallacy in zombie movies is like, but they're a friend of mine. I think you just get back.
Yeah, no, back in ancient times, it was like, shit. I'm going to kill that thing or it will kill me.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are a lot more, let's call it practical.
Ruthless.
Back in those times.
Yeah.
So then it would just be growing up through it. And then as we get to, this modern age.
Probably would have evolved with less need for attachment.
Yeah, because
it would be an evolutionary advantage not to be attached to your mate as much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if your mate died, then you could kill him without feeling bad.
I don't think about attachment. I think what would happen is that we'd have less focus on like dead bodies when people die.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like,
you're right.
Like there might be...
That's not true. We would have more focus. We would have focus, just a different type.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm amazed how actually, like, legitimate of a conversation we're having about this. Because I think we normally turn everything into, like, nonsense.
And yep.
Somewhere again, like, fart jokes. Have we ever done a fart joke? There you go. Excellent, because I'll go in... That'll nice and offset this very serious thing I'm about to say. I think essentially, like, we're talking about a world where... the concepts people have about what happens after they die could shift. So it could be rather than, you know, you die and you go off into, you know, heaven or the afterlife. Yep. It could be that, like, well, you die and then you become a monster.
Yeah.
Or it could even be like, I could imagine in this world there being a belief system where it's like, well, what happens is you die, you go in the afterlife, and a demon comes into your body.
Yep. Or it could even be a thing like, we are all monsters.
Yeah.
But when you die, the part that governs your monstrosity leaves.
You'd have some really interesting belief systems in this world.
You could.
Yeah, a lot more interesting than in this our stupid dumb world.
Well, to be honest, I mean, if we were in that other world, people thinking about what our world would be like would probably think our beliefs are interesting.
Yeah. I mean, except for, like, you know, Norse beliefs are pretty cool. And Hindu beliefs are actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone except for just Christianity.
Yep, well, I'm not really a part of that, so...
Well, no, it's just, like, it's, come on, these ones, they have a bunch of gods doing a bunch of crazy things.
Pantheons are so much cooler
than just one dude. Cooler. Even if you get into, like...
Like, regardless of truth?
Yeah.
Regardless of truth, pantheons are just cooler.
I think it's like Zarathustrianism, which is the one where there's a good god and a bad god.
Yeah.
And that's super cool.
Yeah.
Because they're both still gods, and it's like, the world is essentially a good god versus a bad god. Like, that's
the eternal
so
struggle.
Cool. Yeah, rather than just like, and here's this one super powerful guy.
And you know what I really like about pantheons?
What?
The explanations that come out of them for the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the world is on a giant tortoise's back, and the night sky is a serpent eating its own tail.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Those are so awesome.
You are so creative, ancient
people. You know what? Screw you, science. You've taken the wonder out of the world.
Well, the wonder out of religion, at least.
The night sky is a serpent eating its tail. Actually, you know, when the sun disappears, you actually get to see the...
Shut up, it's not a vacuum.
Shut up. That's not as fun.
It is the beginning and end of all things.
That is not as fun.
Screw you, science.
I like how in this last thing we're talking about, we both said screw you, religion, and screw you, science. We have no friends anymore.
That's not true. Ignorant atheists.
Yeah. Atheists who also don't like science.
Yeah.
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 That's a weird life to live.
It seems like people I would not get along with.
I mean, maybe nihilists like us.
No, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are very nice
nihilists. They don't like us, though, because they're nihilists.
God damn it, nihilists.
Yeah.
They also keep on telling people they're nihilists via nihilists.
Don't you care about anything? I'm a nihilist.
That man's wearing a cape. He only cares about his cape.
So is there another type of zombie reanimation we want to talk about?
Specifically when we're talking about, like, you know, the way the zombies come back. I mean, the thing is that the zombie genre is pretty actually, like, basic when it comes down to it. You have the rage zombies.
Yeah.
Well,
they're not reanimation, though.
They're not reanimation. Even the even plague zombies
aren't
reanimations if they die.
That's
like,
true.
Like, you essentially have... Well, I mean, the rage zombies and the plague zombies are pretty much the same.
There are voodoo zombies.
Right, there are voodoo zombies. And in those ones, when they come back, they're just living people, essentially.
But, well, it depends on the type of voodoo. Sometimes they come back as, like, living corpses.
Well, which one is it, the rainbow and the serpent?
I don't know.
Where the people just come back to life?
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. But
good talk.
If voodoo existed.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what we're saying. If we take it voodoo reanimation zombies, we're saying that voodoo exists.
Yes.
In the world. So really, we're just saying people can use magic in this world.
Yes. This is a magic world now.
Magic world.
But specifically for reanimation.
Yeah.
You
can only use magic to reanimate.
Yeah.
And there are different degrees of success.
I unfortunately don't know too much about voodoo. And since I think for some people that is actually...
That's actually their religion.
That's their religion. Yeah. I don't want to get too...
Well, let's not talk about the actual religion of voodoo. Let's talk about...
Just reanimating someone from using magic.
Yeah. I mean, they always... People in pop culture always use voodoo because it is not a mainstream religion.
So a lot of people won't know about it.
Exactly. Yet. So they use that because it sounds mysterious and they like the idea of mysticism coming from that.
Well, we can even just think of like the way D&D bringing people back works. Mm-hmm. But the way that works in that one is you just come back to life.
Yeah, well, it depends. Are you raising the dead or are you raising a zombie?
You could raise undead or you could...
Yeah.
Bring someone back to life.
Basically, if you are a lich, or a zombie king, or a necromancer, or you are a cleric, it's the difference.
The
labels are important, Kevin.
Don't let anyone ever tell you any different. Labels, super important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always put a label on something.
No, don't.
No.
Please don't. Please don't come up to me if you see me and put a label on me.
What if the label just says Jeremy?
Yeah, it's a name tag.
Name tags are just labels for people.
Well, they're informative, though. That's actually
labels
my name.
Are also informative.
Yeah, but don't walk up to me and put a thing on me that says bearded man. Don't label me as a bearded man. I could shave my beard.
But can you agree with me? Can you agree? Okay, two things. One, can you agree with me that name tags are just labels for humans?
Yes.
Okay. And two, you could have a label on something, and then that something changes, so you change the label.
Yeah, but once the label's on, there's no going back, Kevin.
You could take labels off of cans!
Can you take labels off of cans?
Yes!
Because they're printed onto the aluminum, Kevin.
I mean, now they are! You put a label on top of that label. Labels are so easy to make!
Okay, fine. Have it your way.
I will have in my
label,
way.
Man.
And I will label it.
Enrique
awesome.
Will never stalk you.
Stop with Enrique. Stop it. That was another episode. Which, by the way, you should watch that episode.
Yeah.
Listen to that episode. Damn it. Yo, you should watch that episode.
Yeah.
Just watch the time go.
Tick, there was, tick, tick, tick.
There was, in the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one I didn't watch.
Yeah. Blackbeard has zombies as his pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those aren't zombies. In the original Pirates of the Caribbean, those aren't zombies. Those are living people under a curse.
Yeah.
Not zombies.
Yeah.
They ain't dead.
They ain't dead.
But in the fourth one, he has legitimate zombies. And, like, their thing seems to be that they can still talk. They still have, like, presence of mind. They're just completely under this guy's control.
Yeah.
And not in a, like, oh, I can't. I can't deny you. It's more of like, I'll do whatever you say.
Yeah,
yeah. It's perfect mind control.
Yeah, perfect mind control.
Yeah. So, which means we're kind of also talking about the idea of armies.
Yeah. Well, basically slaves is what we're talking about. Slaves that would never rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be a really bizarre thing because you can be like, oh, this isn't right. This is wrong. It's like, yeah, but when you raise them with that magic, they aren't dead. They will do whatever
you know.
You say.
Who would be rich in this world where magic reanimates people?
Wizards.
Well, wizards, but also embalmers.
I guess, yeah.
To preserve corpses and make them last longer. And make them not smell like rotting corpses.
So the magic raises the undead, but does not keep it from decomposing.
No.
Gross.
It just reanimates them.
That's gross. Yeah. A really good embalmer is exactly what you need. So what you need to be is a wizard.
Or an embalmer.
Or a wizard and an embalmer.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You are horizontally, what's that economic term called?
I don't know. Why? Don't talk to me about economics.
It's a type of monopoly. It's not a vertical. It's a horizontal. I don't know. Maybe it's the other way.
Is it Pokemon Monopoly?
No.
Halo Monopoly?
No.
I only know those kinds of monopolies.
Okay, it's not a board game.
Monopoly isn't a board game. It's a way of life.
Uh-huh.
Because you play it for the rest of your life.
Actually, Monopoly was created to teach children the evils of capitalism.
Yeah, it was.
It's a bad game.
I think, guess what? They made a whole bunch of Monopolies.
Monopoly? Like, the thing about Monopoly is the original version is horrible as a game. It's not a good game.
No, of course it isn't.
And everybody who plays Monopoly always has house rules. Yeah. You know why? Because otherwise it's not fun.
Yeah. Monopoly's one of those games where the rule book is a whole bunch of suggestions.
Yeah. You could do this. Do you think that's fun?
No.
Play our game.
But I mean, like, that's
Milton
how
you... Bradley, play our game. But I mean, listeners, Milton Bradley.
Okay, but I mean, that's how a game should be played. Like, you should be able to house rule the game. There's some terrible games out there that are like if you don't play by exactly these rules, and like, you're ruined it. Like, let's be honest. Cards Against Humanity is supposed to end after someone gets a certain amount of black cards.
Yeah, 10.
I think. No one does that. Unless if you're playing it for like a stream or something. Yeah. You play until you decide to stop playing.
Yeah, you play until you're like, yeah, this isn't that fun anymore.
Yeah, you play until like, ah, shit, it's midnight.
Yeah.
Guess you should go home.
I'm kind of tired, everybody.
All right, how about we just do one more round?
Okay, whoever wins this round wins.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's always how you do it.
Yeah.
You just play until you decide to stop, and then the winner is the person with the most cards.
Yeah. How do we start talking about this again?
Monopoly.
Right. Wizards and Embalmers.
Wizards and Embalmers. Wizards and Embalmers.
Yeah.
Monopoly.
But in this world, that's who would be. That's who would be killing it.
And the best thing is that also there are wizards in this world.
And there would also, well, only they can only reanimate corpses, though.
There definitely has to be some sort of like legislative system, some sort of like...
Oh, there would be systems in place.
Like, you definitely have to have a license to raise the dead.
Yep.
You definitely can't just do it like willingly. You have to like fill out forms.
You have to register your undead slaves.
Yeah, and you have... And like...
And maintain them.
And you'll get audited.
Yep.
Like really, it'll become a bureaucratic nightmare.
It would become a bureaucratic nightmare.
Where
it'd be like having a pet, but if you had to have all this extra paperwork.
That's exactly what zombies are. They're pets with extra paperwork.
You could order that zombie to be affectionate with you.
And once again, they will listen because that is just the way that they are.
Yep.
You have not coerced them. They're just like, yeah, no, they listen to everything you say because you rose them from the dead.
I mean, if you want a hug from a stinking, rotting corpse, go for
it. I mean, if you're a really good embalmer.
Yeah.
It will really change, like, the workforce system.
Oh, it would.
Because...
All manual labor would just be done by the undead.
Yeah, because you would rent, or you'd get zombies from a wizard.
Yeah.
Wizards and zombies, and has, like, a zombie farm somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he sells them to you. And, you know, tells them, like, oh, this person is now the person who you will listen to. And the person's like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And maybe they're branded, like, cattle.
Probably.
You know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or they're wearing uniform.
Yep, pretty much.
Am I kidding? They wouldn't waste clothes on those things.
Okay, well, yeah, but I think everyone else will want them to wear clothes.
They'll cover them up, but it'll just be like sheets draped over them.
they'll all just be wearing like those old Roman.
Yeah, exactly. Just enough to cover up the gross parts.
Yeah, because man, that would be on a dead people.
Yeah,
and you know what? There probably is. There probably is like. It probably is like less paperwork, or there has to be some use for ones that are particularly gross. Like this one got the top of his head blown off.
Yep.
Yeah. So we don't want to put that one in like a service industry.
Yeah, it's probably not.
No. But
service industry would probably still be all people.
Well, yeah, but
the people in the back in the stock room, all undead.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
And then also
also the perfume industry would be huge in this.
I guess
if you have your own perfume, you don't have to smell anybody else.
The entire world just smells terrible.
Yeah,
just terrible smelling.
It would be like France before the French Revolution.
Man, throwing
for everything.
Hang on, throwing shade to pre-revolutionary France.
That's right. What?
Come at me, pre-revolutionary France. I ain't scared of your guillotines.
Yeah. I ain't scared of your guillotines or short-ass rulers.
Stupid rulers.
They're all dead.
We'll bring them back.
And then they'll have to listen to me.
There's a dark side to this world.
Yep.
which we will not get into.
What? You're not going to do it?
No.
But it's kind of your thing to do it.
No, do not. There has to be some things that are like, don't have sex with zombies.
Yeah, don't.
It
would be a social taboo.
Yeah, it's gross.
I mean, people would do it.
Yeah, yeah, no, people do a lot of things that they shouldn't do. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a horrible idea, Kevin. Should okay. I say it?
Yeah, say it, then we'll go to commercial.
Okay, so, you know how they make sex robots in Japan?
Wait, what? What?
You heard me. You know how they make sex robots in Japan?
Yes, I do, Jeremy.
They would do that with an undead person. They would just replace some of the parts with robotic parts.
God fucking damn it, Japan.
To the commercial.
To the commercial.
This episode of The Third Space is brought to you by the worst Halloween candies. All of them. You know those toffees that are hard no matter when you eat them? Brought to you by that.
Well, those ones that are mostly nuts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brought to you mostly by that. Nuts.
Year-old raisins.
Granola bars.
Yep.
Granola bars are fine, but not at Halloween.
Not on Halloween. Unless they're covered in chocolate and caramel. Then that's a chocolate bar in disguise as a granola bar.
Yeah, it like tricks you.
Yeah.
It also tricks you into thinking they're healthy when they're still also just chocolate and...
Tic-Tacs.
Tic-Tacs.
Tic-Tacs are not a good Halloween
pretty
candy.
Pretty much any candy that is remaining in your bag after you've eaten all the other ones.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not counting about the ones that you forgot about and they're hidden in the wrappers of the good candies that you've already eaten.
Those lost candies.
Yeah.
Not brought to you by lost candies.
Nope.
Brought to you by the worst candies.
That's right.
All right, shall we move on?
I suppose so.
Get your stretch out.
I'm stretching it out.
Get your stretch out. Hey, there's some nice limbs you got there.
Thanks.
Now, what if we took those limbs after you died and put them on some other limbs?
I guess you'd have a bunch of dead limbs.
Probably have a bunch of dead limbs. Should probably put like a torso on there.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe a head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure maybe the limbs are in the right order.
Yeah. This kind of reanimation might seem familiar to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the I, Frankenstein reanimation.
I think just Frankenstein.
From the movie I, Frankenstein.
No, just Frankenstein.
No, I think
it was a book.
No, I, Frankenstein.
The book Frankenstein.
No, it's I, Frankenstein.
Mary Shelley.
No.
Yep.
No, Mary Shelley wasn't in there.
I will do Skeletor for the rest of the episode if you keep this up.
Okay, now it's a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Written by Mary Shelley.
Yeah.
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 So
this reanimation, just to be clear, is taking the parts of dead people,
it's pretty
stitching
much
them together and then reanimating them with electricity.
Yeah, pretty much is. The reason that he has different body parts is because when somebody dies, it's usually not just uniform across the body. You pick the best body part.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be a stitched together human being, but it most usually is.
Yeah, because people aren't perfect.
Yeah, and you still need,
and when they die in an accident, they're definitely not.
Yeah, you still need like the good parts. Like if you die because your heart fails, you can't reanimate that person.
Yeah.
Because their heart has failed. Yeah. So you need the heart from a good person.
Yeah.
So this one is a lot, you'll have a lot less zombies.
Yeah.
I think we're talking about the same thing where, like, once again, in this world, we're not assuming the Mary Shelley, this is a crime against God world. We're talking about, like, this is a thing that people do. You can do it. Yeah.
You can do it.
Something we know. I mean...
But the other thing is that this reanimation creates sentience. But not the old sentience. It's completely new.
Yeah, yeah. Creates something completely new.
Yeah.
Which means, essentially, it just becomes a really weird way of having kids.
Yeah.
I believe you still would have to fill up... still probably a bureaucratic nightmare.
Yep. Well, adoption is.
You're just adopting a Frankenstein's monster.
In the real world, adoption is a bureaucratic nightmare.
I know, but usually it's not a giant man or woman made out of stitched together flesh.
I'm guessing somebody wouldn't adopt a Frankenstein monster.
Yes, you would! You'd adopt him from the scientist who made him! Because that's how you make money! You sell them!
I feel like it wouldn't be called adoption. Also, this thing would never grow. It would just be an adult already.
I don't know what
I mean, it has the consciousness of a child, sure, but
I don't know what purpose this thing would even like serve in the world.
I don't know either, but it's possible in this world. Like, so what would happen?
Like, okay. First of all,
yeah,
it takes like 8 humans to make one of these things.
Yeah.
It's always been shown that like Frankenstein's monster is very strong.
Yeah.
But I think it's maybe just because he was made from strong.
Yeah, made from strong parts.
Yeah. So you could. So it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a monstrous, like, tear someone in half with his arms and discus throw a little girl into a lake.
I just had an idea of what people would use this for.
What?
They would use it for companionship for people who don't have anybody anymore.
Wait, they'd be social workers?
Yeah. Like, think about it. An old folks home where all of their friends are died and nobody visits them
then
anymore.
Then you stitch them back together.
No, not that person.
But hey! Hey, look, okay. Look, here's all 5 of your friends.
Follow me on this
No,
trip.
Follow me on my fucking journey.
No, follow me on my journey.
Where your friends have come back to life as in a Voltron form of your friends to be your new friend.
Sure, that's a possibility. But what I was actually talking about is they could be used as companionship for people that don't have companions anymore.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Right? Especially since you can teach them to be however you want them to be, because it's a new consciousness.
Yeah.
So
it's a baby in a man body.
Yeah.
We're talking about a man body baby.
Yeah, man baby body.
A man body baby.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, man body baby.
Or, you know, a woman body baby.
A woman body baby.
But I think that's actually a legitimate use.
Yeah, probably.
Because having an able body around that also provides a social function as well.
Because really the big thing about Frankenstein's monster that sets him apart from zombies is that this one has sentience.
Oh,
this one
thinking and feeling.
Yeah, this one isn't just like completely like the zombies we talked about earlier, were just completely indebted to one person or just mindless. Like, this one is sentient.
Yeah, and it's important to note too that in the book, Frankenstein's monster is not inherently evil.
No,
the bad things that it does in the book are because of the neglect it faces.
Yeah, it doesn't understand. Like when it discus throws that little girl into the lake.
Yeah.
And he's like throwing flowers. He's like, I don't have any more flowers. Hey, this girl's pretty. Boom!
Yeah.
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 That little girl should have known how to swim also.
Yeah, teach your kids how to swim, parents.
Here's the thing. She got thrown into a lake.
Yeah.
Everyone's pushed someone into the water at some point. Right? It happens. Like, a pool party, you're having some fun, you shove someone into the water.
Yeah.
So, can we really blame Frankenstein for that?
No, that's really just natural selection.
Yeah, I mean, he threw her in, she didn't come up, and, like, at that point, he's like, huh, okay.
Okay.
Well. Yes. But why didn't that little girl know how to swim? She lives right by a lake, apparently. Well, teach a little girl to swim.
There are dark things in that lake, Kevin.
So wait, there's another monster inside the lake?
Ogopogo.
I didn't realize Frankenstein took place in Ontario. BC?
BC.
Canada.
I'm sure that's BC.
Canada. You're right. It is BC.
Yeah.
Why would anything
Kelowna.
Why would anything interesting happen in Ontario?
Ontario.
Ontario.
Yeah.
Canadian jokes.
Well, all Canadians are avid listeners of our program, Kevin. Didn't
all
you
them.
Know that?
All of them. All of them.
All of Canada, avid listeners.
Looking at you, Trudeau, the elder.
The elder.
So with this, so we're getting a Frankenstein. We're getting a Frankenstein's monster, not a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Wait, do you think all the scientists are called Frankensteins?
No.
Damn it.
Just the method is called Frankenstein's method, maybe?
Yeah, Frankenstein was the first one to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was showing you his method, man.
Yeah. So not written by Mary Shelley. What? Also Method Man.
Also Method Man.
And Red Man?
No. Just okay. Method
just,
Man.
Just Method Man.
Yeah, Method Man.
He's a lot more successful.
Yeah.
So you're getting a... man-body baby.
Yeah. We found one use already, which is companionship for those who...
And which like I think that's pretty logical. And you could have it either be... either companionship for, you know, once again, old people. Or for maybe the disabled who need a caretaker.
Yep.
Like, they could be actually very good caretakers.
They could be.
Yeah, because you have...
You just have to teach them to be.
Yeah, because, like, they are untiring.
Yep.
That's the one thing they've always shown is that Frankenstein is untiring.
Yeah.
I think because he runs on lightning.
Yep. Sup, bitches, I run on lightning.
I'm essentially part god. Oh, wait. Do you think that, like... So this has been around forever. Now, maybe it had been being used... like earlier before the Frankenstein method began. And maybe back during the Greek times, it was like, oh, these are Zeus's children.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think...
Struck by lightning and brought back to life.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, probably what it is that back in those old times, if a dead body was struck by lightning, it might come back to life.
Yeah.
It probably won't last very long because it doesn't have all the, you know, the things that science allows us to do for it. But it's like, hey, this person's alive again for a little while.
But as a new conscious.
But as a new consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Zeus's child.
The thing is, lightning would still scorch and destroy.
Well, no,
with,
I know.
With that, Frankenstein's method, he channels the electricity in a special way.
But once
again,
that's Frankenstein's method. Frankenstein was working off of the concept of like these old stories of dead bodies being struck by lightning, coming to life for maybe at most a few days before they would die
depending
again.
Depending on where the lightning hit them.
Yeah, before effective. Well, and also because like their body wasn't working correctly because like, I don't know, their liver failed or something, or they were stabbed in the heart.
Yeah.
So they can't continue living.
You know who would have funded this research?
Who?
The military.
Yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
You, wait, so if, I like the also that that's just diminishing returns on your army. So you have an army of 1,000 people and then just like you have to, because you have to use like 5 to 8 of them every time to create one of these.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So every time they die, you put them back together. It's probably something that eventually, like, the Geneva Convention was like, look.
We have to stop
this. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You cannot Frankenstein your army
mustard
anymore.
Mustard gas and Frankenstein monsters? Not allowed anymore.
Yeah, you cannot Frankenstein your army anymore.
Yeah, no doing that anymore.
Which means that like, when people do it, it's like, what? That's a war crime.
That is a war crime.
That is a war crime.
To use it for that.
Yeah. I mean, you can still use them. But you can't use your own, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't keep reconstituting.
It's probably one of those really weird things where it's like, but was it a crime? Did he use a soldier's bodies? Or did he use these other... Did he use
other cadavers?
Yeah.
We have a serious cadaver shortage.
Well, I think the reason why it's...
I guess cadavers would become a resource.
Yeah, I think the reason why it's a... a war crime is because it's the idea of like, oh yeah, we'll just send our soldiers in and they'll die and we'll build them up again.
Wait, I think it's also a war crime because you're essentially sending babies to war.
I guess you're also doing that.
Yeah.
you're sending a man body baby into war.
Like you're sending a sentient being to go die and kill other things when it knows nothing else.
There probably was a long time where it was fine because you know how everything gets rights later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a big thing.
About
the big Frankenstein monster.
Yeah.
And that's also a slur, by the way.
Yeah.
We should probably start referring to them as that.
Well, what's the term that you want to use?
I want to say reanimated. Reanimated Americans.
Reanimated Americans.
These are reanimated Americans.
Let's come up with some slang terms for them. Second lifers.
Yeah. Shock jocks.
Yeah.
Because lightning in them. Yeah.
Grungers. Because they'd look pretty grungy.
They would look pretty grungy. Stitchheads.
Yeah, stitchheads.
Do they have... I mean, they probably have to... I think the purpose of the bolt was to connect lightning, right?
Yeah.
So they probably have bolts somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bolts probably eventually get smaller and
less
obvious.
Yeah, because I can just have like injections essentially, like it's like in their body.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea, like this progress that you can see from the earliest, what do we call them? reanimated
Americans.
Yeah.
Reanimated citizens.
Reanimated citizens. So the first reanimated citizens, which are very much like Frankenstein's, you know, monster.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just all over the body, bolt necks, all those things. As it progresses along, technology sort of changes, and they're able to get a little bit more fine. They'll never look, you know, exactly the same as everyone else, because they're still dead people.
Yep.
And the stitches literally are keeping them together because they don't heal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in the Van Helsing movie.
Okay.
You know, the one starring Wolverine.
Nope.
Okay.
Never watched it.
All right. Frankenstein's in it.
Okay.
And the way that he's sort of made is that he has, like, steampunk-type things inside his head.
Okay.
And, like, hydraulics on his legs to make up for the fact that his leg isn't perfect.
Yeah.
And I like that's how it started out, is you could, like, see, like, exposed skulls with lightning inside of it. And a hydraulic leg that doesn't work very well. Then it progresses along and get more like Aaron Eckhart in I, Frankenstein.
Is that a real thing?
I Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't.
I thought you were just making it up.
No, I could go grab the movie for you now. No, it's over on the
wall. I believe you. It's fine.
I think it's Aaron Eckhart.
Okay.
Yeah, he played the president in some movie.
Was it Air Force One?
No, it was Olympus Has Fallen.
Okay.
By the way, Paris Has Fallen. That looks terrible. No, London Has Fallen. They made a movie about London essentially being attacked and made it about the president of the United States.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept.
It's like the most flag-waving American movie I have ever seen the trailer for.
So here's a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
Would these reanimated citizens ever have full rights as citizens? Is this just a way of artificially inflating your population? Or do they always have to be serving a specific...
I think, once again, it's the thing of everyone else where, like, I think right now in 2016, mm-hmm. that's becoming a conversation.
Yeah.
That people are like...
Because otherwise they are kind of slaves.
Yeah. And like, I think for a long time, there's like yeah, but we made them. We built them. We're the ones that gave them life. So like, this is like, yeah, but just because you give something life, blah, 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 blah.
You give your baby life. Does that mean that you get to choose what your baby does for its entire life? I mean, no.
There'll be people who disagree with you.
Yeah.
But like,
yes,
yeah.
My baby will be a doctor.
I think that's one of the things is that, like, yeah, this becomes a conversation. Like, what are the reanimated rights exactly?
So, what are the ethics surrounding?
Yeah, there's a reanimated rights movement.
Yeah,
and you'll find like BuzzFeed articles on like, you're like, here's how your feminism can also be a reanimist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I feel like this actually changes the world the least out of almost everything we've ever discussed.
Like, yeah, it just adds another class of people essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be one of those, be one of those things where it's like, unfortunately, blacks get discriminated against and women get discriminated against and mm-hmm. reanimated get discriminated against. So if you're a reanimated black woman,
yeah,
it's like,
well, they wouldn't be paid as much.
No, they would not be.
They would maybe not be paid at all. Cause what do they need to subsist?
They don't need to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume they have to essentially be like tuned.
They got to go in for maintenance?
Yeah, because like they don't have to go to a doctor. They have to go to a reanimationist.
Yeah.
No, reanimationist is racism. Reanimationism? Yeah.
No, well, I mean,
it's bigot. What is the bigotry for reanimation? It's reanimationism, right?
I don't know.
But isn't a reanimationist?
Reanimationist.
Maybe it's one of those things where it's like you can both be a reanimationist, which is someone who works with the reanimated, and also a reanimationist, which is someone who is prejudiced against the reanimated.
Or believes that everyone should be reanimated in sort of like a religious way.
So, okay, that's a terrible...
There's so many
that's
different
like a freaky
things.
Fringe religion.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe the maybe the reanimated have their own religion,
maybe,
which believes that lightning is the basis of all life.
Maybe.
And there's like the really proud reanimationists who are like, well, we're better than you because we were given birth by lightning.
I can run farther than you. Can run longer than you.
Yeah.
I feed off of lightning.
So screw you.
So screw you. I learned how to do maintenance on myself.
Do you think they conduct lightning also? So when they're just walking in, it's like, okay, it's going to start storming out there. So reanimated citizens, please stay inside.
Well, I mean, I think that
you might get struck by lightning.
Because there's metal in them, they'd be more at risk than the average human.
So they got to watch
out. I don't think any more at risk than a person who has a metal plate in their skull.
They probably have some metal plates in their skulls.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I know. It'd
be the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta do all that stuff.
Yeah. Is there any other type of reanimation we want to talk about? There's perfect reanimation that we haven't really talked about.
I mean, but that's just resurrection.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus does that.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it took him a while to do it, but...
It took a little bit.
Do you remember going back to, like, D&D?
Yeah.
Where, like, Well, there's the reanimation. There is resurrection. Resurrection, which brings you back as a different race.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a few different kinds of reanimations. There is the one reanimation that brings you back as a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's the true one, which brings you back.
Yeah.
And you're just alive again. just raising dead. And then there's random reanimation, which would be pretty freaking bizarre.
Yeah.
Number one, that would make a terrible world. Because no one would ever die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing of like having just everyone be immortal. Is that eventually...
Yeah. Well, there'd be a law probably about it. Where you couldn't you can't reanimate people because it just is a drain on the world.
Yeah, so we've been doing it for a while.
Maybe it would be you cannot resurrect or reanimate anybody if they are over a certain age.
Yeah, so essentially it's just a guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A guaranteed cutoff is what it would probably be.
Yeah.
Because you'd be hard pressed to find any group that would vote for not being able to reanimate children that died.
That's true. I mean, probably it's like when you get super old, if you reanimate someone, you just reanimate them back into being that old.
Yeah, so they're just going to die again.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, like, you probably can't reanimate anyone from anything terminal.
Yeah, no, probably
not. You can't reanimate cancer from cancer.
No.
You can't reanimate from most diseases.
Yeah.
You only really reanimate from injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, so someone gets hit by a car, you can reanimate them.
Yeah.
If someone gets stabbed, you can reanimate them.
Yeah, because you never return anyone to their prime.
Exactly. But, like, if you just die from being old, if you reanimate them, they're still old.
Still going to die.
Still going to die.
Yeah.
You know they use that on, like, you know, the president or the prime minister or those, like, all, like...
Yeah.
Assassination attempts are pretty much all attempts at this point.
Well, you might succeed for a little while.
Wait, I like... Hang on. Which means the best way for you to, like, I don't know, assassinate the president... Which, now that I've said that, I can put it as a tag on iTunes.
No, don't. It's
super flagged.
Yes, yeah, super flagged.
The best thing to assassinate the president is to, like, bombard him with radiation until he gets cancer and dies. Yeah.
Or, you know, sleep with him to give him AIDS.
Or, like, any sort of thing that's a terminal illness.
Yeah, terminal illness.
Yeah, because if you just shoot the president, he'll just be back the next day.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're resurrected.
He'd be like, what up?
What up?
I ain't scared.
So basically, in this world, there would be more bioweapons.
Yes, there would be.
Because that's the only way you can really wage war. Because otherwise it's all injury. The only way you can win is by making it so that even if they resurrect them, they will die again.
Yeah. We need to take a very quick pause because I need to check something.
Okay.
All right, we're back. So, Jeremy, what do I have in my hand?
You have a player's handbook from 5th edition D&D.
Yes, I do.
Opened up to the spell list where I'm presuming you were looking at resurrection spells.
Yes. So, I should point out, I was thinking of reincarnate. Okay. But that's the one that brings you back as a random thing. Which includes pretty much every single race there. Though I've had other ones where it's like a badger. So it's this reincarnate, resurrection, and true resurrection. There's not a huge difference between resurrection and true resurrection, except for, like, curing things and all stuff about D&D.
Yeah.
The thing that I wanted to point out is that to resurrect someone, it costs a diamond.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but, I mean, contrast that to this world, where all of a sudden, diamonds...
can resurrect people?
Yeah. So you don't really put them on ring. I mean, you could. You could put it on a ring. But, like, that diamond.
Well, in this world, diamonds actually have real
worth. Diamonds are forever.
They have real worth.
They have super real
worth. Well, the diamonds
worth.
Used up. They're not. It's not just a scam by Spence. They're a lot and other stuff.
They're a lot closer to forever than they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're actually useful.
Yeah, because when
giving someone a diamond ring, it has real meaning.
Especially, I've seen the ones where it's just diamonds encircling it.
Yeah.
It's like, my God.
You can resurrect a lot with that diamond.
Yeah, you might as well just go dancing in traffic.
I'm pretty sure the diamond needs to be of a certain size.
It says worth 1,000 gold pieces. I don't know what that means. I guess it's $1,000.
I don't know what the exchange is.
I don't know what the exchange rate of gold pieces and Canadian dollars is.
Yeah, I don't know what the exchange rate of fictional currency and real currency is.
But I like the idea that, like, yeah, so you need a diamond and to help to bring someone back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we're going specifically off of D&D rules,
yeah, which I mean, we kind of were. That's what we're talking about. Not just, like, bring someone back to life. Yeah, all right. Cool.
Anything else?
No, I think that's good. I think we can wrap this one up.
Cool.
Yeah, all right. If you liked what you're hearing, you can follow us on Twitter at Third Spacecast.
You can also tweet Kevin or myself. You can reach me at Mighty Thews.
And I'm at Strawman K. Weir.
Yeah, you can look us up at our website, www.thirdspacepodcast.com.
Or you can send us an email at thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
And please, if you did like what you heard, leave us a review, leave us a rating, subscribe, tell your friends. These are all the sort of things we need to be able to keep doing this.
Yeah, and for example, if you know somebody listens to podcasts when they travel, you could be like, hey, there's this podcast, I enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to it. It's also good to listen to while cooking or yes. cleaning.
Yep.
Maybe not with a vacuum because that's noise, but sometimes you gotta clean.
Super loud. Make it louder than the vacuum.
Terrify everyone around you.
Make all your neighbors hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just play loudly out your window.
If you are trying
children
to create
around, turn it off.
Some elaborate Home Alone type scheme, you could play it to make it seem like there were two people in the room with you talking.
Yeah, you can set up a speaker, and so for any criminals come around, all they'll hear is two people talking on nonsense and be like, well, we can't go in there.
Yeah, and as we add more episodes, the loop gets longer, so yeah. they'll hear different parts at different times.
So currently, you can go on a 13-hour vacation.
Well, you can do a 13-hour loop.
14-hour vacation, yeah, because this one came out.
Yeah, right? You can do a 14-hour conversation that loops.
I guess,
so unless they're there for 14 hours and are really listening to what's been going on the whole time.
These guys have been talking for 14 hours!
Yeah.
What the hell?
What that? Aren't these people sleep?
But as we could do more and more episodes, you can go on vacations and just leave it playing in your house.
Yeah, but to do that, you got to download and subscribe.
You have to. It's the only way
to
do it.
It's the only
way to do it.
Our theme song is Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
Yes, and it's done us very well.
Yes, it has done us very well. is there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, we still have some more Spooktober episodes coming. So if you have a suggestion, then please send it to us through the email, through Twitter.
We might be able to get it up. I don't know. We're recording these weirdly.
We are.
Yeah. Usually it's like a week at a time. We're sort of doubling up for a while.
Yeah. Well, hopefully after October, I won't be going on any long trips anymore.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
That'll be good.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Join us next time on The Third Space, where we rate our favorite knives according to stabbing capability.
We are still looking for a special guest. Nothing to do with that, though.
Nope.
No, we just want a special guest.
Just special guest
talk
for,
about things.
For our stabbing episode.
Yeah. Totally different. All right. Bye.
See you next week.